The gospel today is fairly challenging, I think, but you like to see that in the gospel. You know, that's a worthy gospel, one that's very challenging. And as we look at this, it can be easy to kind of think, well, to be a good Christian, there's an awful lot of things you have to do. And there's disciplines you have to undertake. You get to pray for a while, you know, hours, and study the Bible and do all kinds of things to be a really good Christian. And many people will hold that belief. And then they'll kind of soften it up a little so that it can be handled by saying, well, I believe that, but I don't want to go overboard. I want to be balanced in my life and so forth. So there'll be something, well, I'll go to church or whatever it may be. And kind of put what is perceived as a good Christian life at arm's length. Now, I know none of us in here in this room this morning do anything like that, but maybe you've met people who've done that. Talk to them or something, or they've talked to you, or said something along those lines. And what I want to suggest to you is this: to think that the right Christian life, the right level of the Christian life, is doing all these kinds of things, having all these disciplines so that you're good at them, is a dead end. That is actually a dead end. Well, I was hoping for a sigh of relief at that, but okay. That's all right. We'll keep going. Oh, thank you. All right. And it's a dead end because it's really works. I learned to fast so I can be good at fasting. I learned to pray so I'm good at praying. I study the Bible so I can be good at knowing what the Bible says. Those are all works. The mark of a truly strong spiritual Christian life is loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. All right. On those two things hang all the law and the prophets. All of them. And they hang on. It's like you put all the law and all the prophets into a strong kind of burlap sack, and you hang it on loving God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Anything that increases your love of God and your ability to love other people the way you love yourself is the mark of a truly strong Christian life. Now, I want to suggest to you rather strongly that the only way to do that is your connection with Jesus. Loving God with everything you have and loving your neighbor the way you love yourself is an impossibility apart from Jesus. Your connection to Him is the life source, the flow of strength for that. And that's where all of that comes from. When you know Jesus so that you enjoy Him and see others the way He sees them, then you're living a very powerful spiritual life. And that's the way that works. That connection continues to deepen and grow, and you become more and more like Him. That's the goal. See, often it's easy to get the results confused with the goal. If the goal in your mind is to have a really excellent prayer life, it's possible to miss Jesus altogether. But if the goal of your life is to know Jesus more deeply all the time, one result will be an excellent prayer life. Because that's one of the ways you get to know Him. It's a natural thing. Okay. Well, what this boils down to is this: your top priority is to know how much God loves you and to reflect that with others. That would be it. Anywhere you are, everywhere you are, all the time, it is to be taking in how much God loves you and reflecting that with others. And that's what brings you clarity. Knowing your top priority is what brings you clarity. And some of us have brought up, here on church, and another way to talk about it, I need to be clear about the right time with my friends. You know, the right time for whatever it may be. The right time to invite them to church, the right time to pray for them, the right time to this or that, or whatever it may be. But I can't always tell the right time. And it is the top priority of loving God with all you have and your neighbors, yourself, where you will receive clarity for what to do in those relationships. It still may be uphill. It still may be difficult. You still may not want to do it. But that's where you get the clarity for that. In other words, the operation is performed by having the right operating system. That's for all you IT people. You have the right operating system, you can perform the right operations without freezing up. And the right operating system is enjoying the love of God and others. When that's your operating system, you'll be able to move ahead with these steps in ways that you could not otherwise. And that's what we see in Luke here in this, I think, difficult gospel. These three, well, at the end, these three sayings. Didn't you think the 12 were a little more difficult than Jesus when they went into Samaria and they said, what do you say we just call fire down on these guys? They're not letting us go through. Thank God Jesus was merciful. No, we'll just move on. And then Jesus turns around and he lets these other people have it. Hey, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. Well, I don't know. Jesus' vestry would have said, hey, here we go. We're on the roll now. And Jesus says, well, you know, you follow me, you get nothing. That's what it means when he says, well, you know, foxes have holes and birds have nests, me, nothing. You follow me, you get the same thing. That's what it sounds like to me. Other things like that. Or this one. Somebody comes up to him and says, you know, I want to follow you, but let me go home and bury my father. Jesus says, you leave the dead, bury their own dead. Is there a calling committee, search committee would have recommended him? No, I don't think so. This is this for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Now, this is where we begin to reconnect to our top priority and how it plays out in our lives. And how we know the right time for doing things. Jesus says, let the dead bury their own dead. And it does sound harsh to our ears. Now, some people interpreting this, you find some commentaries and so forth, they'll say different things to kind of soften the impact. So here, in one place you might read, the man's father was not dead yet because the burial would have been the same day as the death, which was their custom in those days. So Jesus was saying, well, before your father dies, which is probably going to be a while, then you follow me in the meantime. Yeah, maybe, maybe not. And there's another interpretation, and that is that there were people in that culture who made a living preparing the burial plot and doing the actual burial on the same day. You get in touch with them, and before sundown, they get it all done. Well, that's maybe, and all of that could be the case, but what that doesn't take into account is the second half of what Jesus said to him. But as for you, you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. That's what draws us back to the priority. Loving God with all we have and loving our neighbor as ourselves is a way of extending the kingdom, which, as you will remember, in the Episcopal Church is the duty of all Christians. Do you remember that? Page 855 of the Book of Common Prayer, what is the duty of all Christians? Work, pray, and give to extend the kingdom of God. So how do we do that? We set the priority. And then the clarity starts coming out of that. I want you to notice, just to be clear, Jesus did not say to this man, listen, you want to follow me? Don't even think about going to your father's funeral. He didn't say that. First reading, it looks like that. First time you come across it, whoa. But that's not it. He did tell him, as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Now, I want you to notice what's not in there. Jesus did not say, all right, come on and follow me. Come on, we're headed towards Jerusalem. Why don't you just come along with us now? He says, you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. And what that means is, by the way you are and the things that you do, you will be carrying the kingdom of God. When you are connected with me, knowing that God loves you, and you love God with all that you have, and then you want to love your neighbor as yourself in that power, then you are connected to me. And you are extending the kingdom of God. In other words, by what you do and the way that you are, you're extending the kingdom of God. And then a few centuries after that, as Francis said, and if necessary, use words. The first and highest priority is always enjoying and sharing the love God has for you and for others. And it is always the right time for that. There's never a time when that's just going to be out of place, inappropriate. Shouldn't have done that. Shouldn't have been loving your neighbor as yourself there. Wrong move on that one. That'll just never happen on that priority. That priority is always correct. Now, some people you know may not like that. But most of them probably will. They probably will just fine with the way that that goes. You know, unless there's some other reason that they just want to fight with you. And they may want to do it. It may be the only way they know how to relate to people. It's been more than one hospital call that I've been on where the person didn't want me to go, but they didn't know what else to say. So they start arguing about the Bible with me or something. Did you read this? It's crazy. How could you believe that? And what they wanted me to say is what it was. So me extending the kingdom of God in that case is just to say, I believe that. Yeah, I'm crazy. That's fine. Okay, what else? or whatever. Just to keep relating to them. However, even if you run into some difficulties like that with people you already know, because you've begun to shift the relationship a little bit by loving them the way you love yourself, by reflecting the love of God, when you are doing that consistently, when that is your first priority and your way of operating, your circle of relationships will increase. It will widen. People who look to you, see something about you, wonder what's going on with you, that will widen. All because you are loving people as you would love yourself. That's what opens the door. That's what always is correct, no matter what. And then, from there, you begin to see, well, now, should I invite them to church? Should I pray for them? Should I do something else? Whatever, just sit here and listen. It becomes a little clearer what step you would take with them, because you have that going on in the relationship. That's what it is to see what God is doing and then join in. Well, okay. I want to share a little bit more, but as we've been doing the past little bit, right now is a good time. If you have questions or comments or things that you want to maybe unpack a little bit more for a couple of minutes, why don't we do that right now? Yeah.
You started out today, and I don't know if you've ever actually said this,
but you're
a third Christian.
Yes.
There is a fun enough time to be that.
Right. Good, great. Thank you, Kathy. Maybe next week we can maybe be good Christians like this. Okay, great. Thank you. That's all right.
so knowledgeable and he was a man of God. He almost knew what was on everybody's heart. So he applied whatever he needed to be saved at the perfect period that he needed to say. For example, what he said to the man, you know, just he worked with him and he realized what he said.
Possibly. Right. Yeah. That's an excellent point. Sonny is saying Jesus knew he had a short amount of time and being God and so forth, was able to say the right thing. He knew it was on people's hearts. And that's true. I would like to just have a little different angle on that. I mean, I agree 100% with you. But just a little different angle on that is this. Jesus, as he walked the earth, never did anything as God. Always did it as a human. As a human working in the power of the Holy Spirit. And in that way, he's a model of ministry for us. So what we can assume is that there's something about a man in the power of the Spirit, loving God with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loving this other person as himself, that is at the core of this exchange. And it is all provided by the presence of the Spirit, just as it would be for us. And where that overlaps with, it overlaps completely, is that it's still God. But it's the power of the Spirit, it's still God. It's just Jesus showing us how to walk in step with the Spirit.
Well, I mean, the human part of him probably made him even, there was an inkling of a doubt that what was going to not happen to him, which basically what it did happen to him, by the numbers.
Right. Yes, exactly. Exactly. Same kind of thing we would experience. Right. Very good. Yes, Carol. Exactly. Always present with everyone around him, no matter whether it's the first time they met or known for a long time, because that's what it is to love your neighbor as yourself. Yeah. Excellent point. All right, Jay, then Pat. Yeah, excellent question. And I didn't get into that, did I? Right. Yeah. The one who puts his hand in the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. And you can see that here, although people don't plow too much anymore with horses or mules. But it's the same with the tractor. If you want to plow a straight line, and if you look at the ground, it won't be straight. If you pick a point at the end of the field and look at that and drive towards that, it'll be straight. You keep your eye on Jesus, or as Paul says in Philippians, on the prize of knowing him. You will go straight. You will be always going in the path of the kingdom of God. Is that helpful? That's it. Yep. There's more into that. Patty. Right. You have some interesting neighbors over there. Where are you? You're right over here, right? Yeah. Yeah, that's an excellent question. What if people are just plain evil, or we think that they are, or whatever, they've done some awful things? How would we love them as we love ourselves? Well, here's my answer, which is certainly not the final answer or definitive in any way. If I had the capacity to love myself, I wouldn't want to be that way. And if I am, for some other reason that I cannot control, then I would need God to step in and do something. And that would be what I wish for them. I would wish for that person what God wants. And I wouldn't tell God what I thought should happen. Say, God, what do you want? Yeah. And that may be a little bit of help, a small handle for that. And that's kind of a big topic. Okay, there's one over here. I was getting a little worried about this side of the room. Was that you, Bobby? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, first let me go bury my father.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really, really good point.
Oh, okay. Saying to someone who said, I can't go proclaim the gospel with their organization that wants me to do that with college kids, yeah, because I've got to go home and take care of my parents who have cancer.
Yeah.
What do you do with that? I just feel like church people.
Very careful. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's an excellent, excellent point. And what we need is to be able to give each other the same grace Jesus gave this person. Wherever you go, be carrying the kingdom. And that'll be good. Because really, wherever you go, there's two people there at least. You, right? Wherever you are, there you are. And Jesus. And the two of you together will be able to carry the kingdom wherever you are, whatever it is. Some of you miss church next week. I know some of you are. And the holiday weekend, wherever you go, carry the kingdom. That's what, connect with him and love the people around you as you love yourself. Yes. No. Yeah, and the goal and results works there too. If the goal is a big church, we may not get it. If the goal is to make disciples who carry the kingdom, the church comes out of that. That's a growing church is a result of making disciples who carry the kingdom. We'll get into that some other time. Okay, I think we've exhausted the questions for today. That's good. Let's stand before the Lord.